Normally, this is our missions moment, but since next Wednesday is our last ladies' study, and we break for the summer, we're going to have our missions moment next week, and also a time of fellowship after our study. But I do want to mention the summer Bible studies. These little booklets are out on the table. Maybe you already grabbed one, but I want to just briefly tell you about what's going on this summer. Okay, we have quite a few Wednesday morning studies and then Wednesday evening studies. And Wednesday morning, one of them will be Elizabeth Elliot on DVD, and you can read for yourself to see what she will be speaking on. But anytime you can see, watch, read Elizabeth Elliot, run and do that. She's really impacted my life. Also, a More Precious Than Gold, a reading through the New Testament. Maybe you've never done that, and here's your chance to do it with a bunch of your sisters, to read through the New Testament together, to come together on a weekly basis, to hear a devotional teaching on that portion of Scripture that you've read, and to, by the end of the summer, to say, yes, we did it, and we got that Word of God sown into our hearts and lives. And then a one-time class at Scripture Memorization. Some of you took it, I think it was last year, that Suzanne did that Scripture Memorization class. I know a lot of you really benefited from that. You have now memorized chapter out of the Word, and what a wonderful thing. And Suzanne's very good at giving you tips and encouraging you so that we can all memorize that and hide God's Word in our hearts. That Pleasing God series, I mentioned that last night out of Kay Smith's book, Pleasing God. There's a Bible study on that. And then Wednesday evenings. Also, the reading through that New Testament, the same class is in the evening. Another DVD series of Elizabeth Elliot is in the evenings. And some of these you can take all of them because they don't overlap. I think there's only one that maybe overlaps, but others you can just do the whole summer on these different classes. The Scripture Memorization class in the evening, and then another 4 weeks, four chapters. It's just a four-week class, taking a chapter out of the Word, devotional teaching, and then some tips and encouragement to memorize that particular chapter. And don't get overwhelmed with that. It is overwhelming to say, you memorized a whole chapter? Oh, how do you do that? I don't know how you do that. I might take the class, but probably if you put everything together that I know, it could be a chapter. But it is doable. I don't know what the opposite of that, what I was trying to say. It isn't not doable. No, you know, it can be done. Thursday evenings, once a month during the summer, once in June, July, and August, is a book discussion group. Three different books, wonderful books. I have read them, and I get excited about. And usually, I've never been in a book discussion group. It's probably a good thing that I'm not. But when I do read a book, I am a conqueror. I pick the book up and I don't put it down until I finish it, which is why I don't read a lot of books, because that's all you would be doing. But I have to talk about it. So my husband gets to hear everything about that. But I might come to one of those, so I get to, you know, you get excited when you read these books. Very, very good books you can read for yourself. And then Friday mornings, prayer group for women to get together and pray for each other and pray for the needs of our fellowship. We're going to start sign-ups next Wednesday evening and then continue them on Sundays until we start in June. But grab one of those booklets and pray about where the Lord would have you so you can stay in the Word this summer and stay in fellowship. We need each other. Okay, so as I said, this is our second to the last lesson in the shaping of a Christian woman, and tonight is our daily walk, and kind of taking all these things that we've learned, and then how do we apply that every day in our life. And isn't this life that we have with the Lord absolutely wonderful? It is a joy. If we just sit and think about that for a moment, I mean, your heart just wells up with thanksgiving and joy, because look at this life we get to live. Not everyone lives it. They can, but not everybody does. And I don't know about you, but if you like to just sit and watch people, but I have always done that, where sometimes you just sit on a bench, or if you're in the mall, or if you're at Disneyland, or if you're somewhere, and you're just sitting there and you just watch people. People are very interesting. You know, you can hear little conversations, and we all have our little quirks and things, and there's funny things and serious things and all that to watch. And I think a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of people here, they sit and watch people. You see on a Sunday morning when people come early and they're sitting, you know, in the sanctuary, and they just sit and they just watch people. So we learn from one another. And sometimes it's a good thing to watch people, but sometimes when I watch people, and probably not sometimes, probably more often, you know, or quite frequently, not here, but elsewhere, when I watch people, I get very sad. And the other day, it was Monday morning, and I was going to sit down and work on this message, and we had Gail stay with us this last weekend, so I was in the room, you know, cleaning and redoing the sheets and all of that kind of thing, and I looked out my window at the neighbors, and it just made me sad. My neighbors, most of them, the next door neighbors know the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. And once in a while you just get that glimpse where you're watching people and it's kind of like a, well, it's just sad. It's like, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go to work and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And it's just kind of like, why? And where's the meaning and where's the purpose? It's like sheep without a shepherd. And it's not life, it's existence. And we were all like that. In fact, I mean, that's for me, that's why one of the reasons I came to know the Lord, because I remember sitting on my couch looking out the window at the neighbor and looking, just seeing, and I just said, is this it? You know, what's it all about? Is this it? This is it? If this is it, this is depressing. I mean, what is the purpose? What is the meaning of life? And that, you know, drove me to the Lord. But we have life. We have abundant life. So that when we are in this place and we get to watch people, it's not with a sad and a heavy heart. It's when you get to watch people who have life and watch people who have a relationship with the Lord, it's exciting. And when you get to watch somebody get in their car and drive here, it's because they're going with a purpose, because they have a mission to accomplish for the Lord. They have a ministry that they're going to do. And it, with the life we have as Christians, even if you're in a horrible trial, even if you're in a horrible home life or relationship or whatever it might be, we have a wonderful life in the Lord. To have a relationship with Jesus, to be saved, to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be to have eternal life. It just on and on and on. We get to wake up each and every morning knowing that our God watched over us at night. His eye was upon us. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't blink. He misses nothing. And he was watching over us while we slept. So we need to wake up with that confidence. We're not alone. How can you be lonely? You're not alone. He is with us. And then we wake up knowing that his mercies and his compassions are new every morning. We get to wake up with a clean slate. How good does that feel? I mean, that is just wonderful that we can wake up every single morning and be confident knowing that he has plenty of mercy and compassion on us, that he is with us, that we have a new day, a fresh start, and an exciting life. No, there's no telling what can happen in a day, what might come across our path. It's exciting. So we want to look at our daily life, our daily walk with the Lord, and how we're to begin each day. Now, I don't know how many of you do the homework. I hope all of you do the homework, because it's so good to sow that into our lives ahead of time, to have the Lord to be speaking to us and have these things stirring around in our hearts and our minds. And when I went over the homework a few days ago, it was like, okay, yes, now I know. And it's right in the front of my mind of this is what I'm going to do. So one of the first questions the homework asked is, how would you describe the best way a Christian should begin their day? I mean, what is the best way that any Christian, but let's narrow it down to you, me, what's the best way that I can begin my day? Now, we're going to do something just a little different tonight, because I need a little interaction from you, which is why I wanted you closer, because I want you to answer this question. Okay, so because we probably all know the answer, but I'm going to let you tell me. So what's the best way? Best way for us to start our day as a Christian? Praising the Lord, yes. Prayer. Reading the Word. Giving thanks. Surrendering. Listening. Yeah, that what you're saying, you are speaking of a relationship. You're speaking of a person, that you are have a relationship with a person, with Jesus, and that you're communicating with him. The best way to begin the day. Now, when we started this series, one of the first lessons we had was on our devotional life, or a quiet time in the morning. And in Isaiah 50, verse 4, it's talking about the Messiah, Jesus, and it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." Speaking about Jesus, that the Father awakens him morning by morning. He awakens us morning by morning. Whether you wake up from that annoying alarm clock, or you wake up because the sun is rising, or you just wake up, whatever it might be, he awakens us morning by morning, and he does the same thing as he did with Jesus. He communed with Jesus. He spoke to him to give him the direction for the day. What I want you to do this day, and that's what he does with us, morning by morning, so that we need to have a listening ear. So one of the first things for us as Christians in this relationship with the Lord, as he awakens us, we know that he's been with us all night long, and that his mercies are new, he begins to speak to our hearts. And we need to wake up with a listening ear so that we hear his voice and whatever he wants to speak to us that day. Now, if you turn with me to Psalm 5, we're also then supposed to talk with him We listen and we talk with him. He is the first one we should talk with in the morning. I can't remember who said it, but they said, it's not good for me to talk to anybody until I talk with the Lord. And I say a big amen to that. Now, I am typically a morning person, so I usually wake up and I am awake. Not that I am a chatty Cathy, but I'm not a chatty Cathy anytime. But I really need to talk to the Lord and hear from him before I talk with anybody. I really need that. And of course, the kids are grown and I just have my husband at home with me and he knows that I need that. She's like, just don't even talk to me till I spend that time with the Lord to get my heart. I don't know what happens in the night to have my heart all crummy, but I need it right and made right in the morning. So I need to listen to him. We need to talk to him. Psalm 5. And I can sing this better than I can read it because I get the words all messed up from the song. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. So first thing in the morning, I'm listening and I'm talking to the Lord. Now, there's something else that's a wonderful thing to do in the morning while we're listening and talking to the Lord and we're in the Word and we're having that wonderful time with him. Psalm 59:16 says, "But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." I will sing to you in the morning. I will sing of your mercy. I will sing to you. How many of you, really, how many of you this morning, how many of you sang to the Lord? Yay! That's great. You know what? We can do that every single morning. Where we sing, you probably think, well, I don't think anybody wants to hear me sing, especially in the morning. He doesn't care what you sound like. You can make that singing that melody in your heart to the Lord. But he wants us to sing to him in the morning. You sing the praise and the worship, or you make up your own little diddly-doo songs kind of a thing. Oh, we had a friend, he's pastoring in New Jersey, and he wrote a song. We used to sing it, actually. And it was just a silly song, but it was a great song. And he was in the shower, and his wife was in the other room, and he started singing this song. And I'm just going to sing it just for a minute. At the start of each day, just before I begin to pray, Jesus puts this little song in my heart. And I will sing this song of praise, and my hands to him I'll raise. I'm so glad now that I've been born again. He's Italian. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's great. I don't know. I just, lots of these songs came to my mind when I was doing this. But that was in the morning. These little songs that just come to us, and just to sing to him in the morning. What a wonderful life we have. What do the other people do? How do they sing? Who are they going to sing to? We get to sing to the King of Kings. And we get to give thanks, and we get to declare his loving kindness. I love this. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Another song. I'll declare thy loving kindness in the morning and I'll celebrate thy faithfulness at night. I just love that and I sing that a lot in the morning. I'll declare thy loving kindness. You know, nobody's home to declare it to, but I'm going to declare it anyway, you know, kind of a thing. It's just, I love it. Don't you love it? I don't know. I just really liked this lesson. It was just really good for me. It's like, we get to do these things every single day. Oh, hooray. Yip, yip. Oh, it's wonderful. Now, the other thing that is great is what we should wear each day. We have to get dressed every day, obviously. Now, some people battle with that because they battle with they don't know what to wear. I don't know how many of you are here that have that battle. Some people have that. I mean, once in a while, I don't have that battle. That's not a thing for me. Even as a teenager, my sister, oh, every morning she would change, I don't know, 3 and 4 times to... I don't know what it was. I probably should have cared more. I just got dressed and left. And I don't think about it a whole lot. But once in a while, I'll have those moments of, I don't know what to wear. You know, I just don't know, and I can't decide, and nothing looks right and feels right, and, you know, all of that kind of a thing. I don't know. How many of you have that thing? Okay, yeah, so you know. I mean, and then the rest of us, probably every once in a while, it happens, you know. If it doesn't, maybe it should. Maybe we should care more. I don't know. Sometimes I worry about myself. But the Lord has given us these things to wear. We don't have to think about what we're going to wear. Because it's our spiritual dress, and it's the same every single day. And it's appropriate for every occasion. You know, sometimes you think, I don't know what to wear to this thing because all I have are casuals and they're supposed to be, you know, what am I going to do? What the Lord gives us to put on is always appropriate for every occasion. Isaiah 61:10 tells us, "For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." He has already clothed us. We are clothed with a garment of salvation, with the robe of righteousness. He has provided that for us in Jesus. We have his righteousness, salvation from him, and we are fully clothed in that. They are permanent garments, not to be taken off. We wear them every single day. Through the night, always, that garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness, all of our spiritual attire is to be worn all the time. But we do need to consciously choose to put things on and to remember of the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. But then the other things that we're going to look at here in a minute, we need to be conscious every single morning. And this study, this homework helps to get that in our mind. We were talking before when we were praying together earlier that, you know, we walk with the Lord and we do these things, but sometimes we're not thinking about it. But the homework had you think about it. And so then, okay, I did my homework. Then the next morning, it's in my mind. And I'm going to wake up and now be conscious of, oh, I need to put these things on. Which is why we need Bible study, which is why we have homework, which is why, because we need to be reminded all the time. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Verse 14. Tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So we are to every single morning put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to put on what looks like him. What would he say? What would he do? How would he respond? How, you know, where would he go? All of that is putting on the Lord Jesus in our lives. And each morning, again, making that conscious effort to put Jesus on. And, you know, we all have to-do lists, most of us, every single day. And at the top of the list, put on Jesus. And when we put on Jesus, I know I was talking with Jennifer last week about the to-do list is that pleasing the heart of God. You put on Jesus, you're going to please the heart of God. So our daily to-do list, daily walking with him, our daily life as a Christian, and maybe we need to write that down. Maybe we need to put that on the fridge or put that wherever your to-do list is. Put on Jesus today before we leave the house or in the car, wherever we are. Put on Jesus. Now, before we talk more about what to put on, let's talk about what not to wear. Now, Tammy reminded me on Sunday that there is a show called What Not to Wear. I forgot about that. I actually watched it one time, What Not to Wear. And the one show that I watched, there were school teachers, and I guess their friends nominate them to have somebody help them, because obviously they're not wearing what they should. So it was actually quite humorous because of what some people think looks attractive and what others don't, you know, kind of a thing. But the people go through their closets and they have the people, you know, this woman try these things on, and then they tell them, you shouldn't wear that because you're too short and it makes you look blah, 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 you know, and all that kind of a thing. And then they take them shopping and whatever. But it is, actually, I'd like somebody to do that for me. I've given my friends permission. Would you please tell me when I am wearing something that I look too old in, too frumpy, or too young, or too whatever? I need people to tell me, because, you know, sometimes you look in the mirror and you think it's fine, or you don't look in the mirror, probably my problem, and then you're wearing things that aren't becoming, you know? So if you be nice to me, you have my permission to say that, you know, that's just not a good color for you. Washes you out. My mother, who tells me to wear lipstick all the time because my lips are fading as I get older. You need a little color, honey. You need a little color. So there are things that Christian women should not wear. Christians, not just women, but Christians. They are not complimentary to us, and they don't please the heart of God. So let's turn to Ephesians. We're going to read through that, and then we're going to read those in the list in Colossians also. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He said that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Now let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So, from those two passages, we have an extensive list of what not to wear and then what we are to wear. So the what not to wear, and if you did your homework, maybe you could open it up to that page if you did it and wrote down, because I want you to tell me what we are not to wear. So what's one of the first things in those lists that we are not to wear? We need to get out of our closet, get out of our wardrobe, get out of our lives altogether.
Lying.
Fornication. Malice. Rage. If you're in the back, you're going to have to be louder. But do it anyway. Okay. I knew that. I thought, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I can't hear. Blasphemy.
Slander.
Filthy language. Idolatry.
Gossip.
Evil desire. Covetousness. Greed. Bitterness.
Passion.
Evil passion.
Uncleanness.
Evil speaking.
Malice.
We got that one.
Deceitful lust.
Abusive speech, yes. Gossip, yes. So we got your former conduct, which is anything in your flesh. We have lying, anger, stealing, corrupt speech, bitterness, wrath, clamor, malice, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, wrath, blasphemy, filthy language, and on and on and on and on. All of those we are not to wear. We do not look attractive in them at all. They are contrary to what the Lord wants a Christian woman to look like. So we need to put those off. We need to clean out our closet, allow the Lord to go through, just like those people on that show, to go through and say, that's not becoming. That has got to go. I don't ever want you to wear that again. Get rid of that and that and that and that and that. And get rid of those filthy garments. And I don't know, perhaps giving a good friend permission to let you know when that particular garment, you're wearing that today, and to say, you know, you need to change your clothes. I mean, we do that with our kids. You need to change your attitude, or you need to, you know. Now, what are we to put on from that list? What are we to put on? Love. Patience, tender mercies, forgiveness, humility. I didn't hear that. Compassion, joy, kindness, forgiveness. I didn't hear you. Being renewed, renewing your mind. Meekness,
holiness,
grace, yes, being gracious, mercy, yes, it's a big room,
thankfulness,
truth. So those are all things that look very attractive on us. Because then we look like Jesus. And those are the things that please the heart of God. And when we put on the Lord Jesus, we put on tender mercies, we put on forgiveness, we put on humility and love and forbearance and tenderheartedness and kindness and all those things, it gives us a whole new look. It freshens us, it brightens us, it's pleasing to the eye, to other people. They look and think, oh, there's something attractive about this person. They're drawn to it because it's Jesus in us. And we need to purposely put those on every single morning. Every single morning. And as the homework said, to try them on and then maybe model them for our family, for our friends. So put them on tonight when you go home and model them and just be more like Jesus every single day and what we are to wear. Now, the Lord also, and those things again, we don't have to get up every morning and think, oh, what am I going to wear? Should I wear kindness today? Should I wear love today? You know, I get to wear all these things. It's like you wake up in the morning and He has it all laid out in your room and you just surrender and put that on and it's already there. No decisions. You just put it on and then walk in it. Now, He has provided something else for our protection in Ephesians chapter 6. So turn over there. Something that we also need to put on each and every day. Finally, my brethren, chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, in which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So He's provided this armor, this spiritual armor for us to protect us so that we can stand in this world. Now, we did a whole lesson on spiritual warfare, but here we get up in the morning and we already have the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness, and we put on the Lord Jesus, and in putting Him on, we're putting on tenderness, and we're putting on graciousness, and we're putting on kindness and love, and we're putting all of those things on, and then we have to put on the whole armor of God. And it just kind of just wraps us all and seals us so that we can stand in this world. And you notice that it says that we are to take up the whole armor of God. And notice that it says, having girded your waist with that truth. Having done that. We've already done that. We should never take the armor off. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and then taking that shield and taking that sword and taking that helmet, and just to, if you need to in the morning, visualize that. Okay, taking these things. I've got the love and the tenderness and the forgiveness and the humility, and I've got the helmet of salvation, and now I'm taking the breastplate of righteousness, and I'm girding my waist with the truth, and I'm putting the gospel of peace on my feet, and I'm picking up my shield and my sword, and now I'm ready to go. Now I'm dressed. I'm dressed to walk with the Lord through whatever is going on out there. So these are things that we must wear, that we must do each and every day. We were talking earlier, too, with this putting on, or the what not to wear and what to wear, that it just looks like a skit waiting to happen. Don't you think? Can't you just visualize that? Where you have somebody come in with the what not to wear and the somebody the what to wear, and it just helps us visually when we see that. So that may be in the works for next year. So we know what to wear, and now what should we do each day? We've got all this clothing on, the Lord Jesus on, and the armor and to protect us. Now, what are we to do? Well, you look at all that He has given us in this life that we have, and the abundant life and the joy-filled life, and it's a blessed life. And now, in response to all that, what we need to do every single day, one of the things we need to do is just deny ourselves, to take up that cross daily, and to follow after Him. So if we've already put all this on, we are already denying ourselves and denying what we want. So we keep that on and keep that in the forefront of our mind, that I'm not living for myself. I am living for Jesus. In living for Jesus, I'm denying self. And in Romans 12:1, it tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's holy and it's acceptable, or it's well-pleasing to Him. And so when we deny ourselves every single day and we present our bodies as a living sacrifice every single day, and then let heaven fill our thoughts. In Colossians chapter 3, let heaven fill our thoughts. In Philippians 4:8, to think on the things that are lovely and pure and true and good. These are the things we are to actively be doing every single day. And if we've had that time with the Lord and His Word has washed our mind, we're letting heaven fill our thoughts. I love that picture. I love that. Just let it flood our minds and come over us, and so that everything we see and hear, it's filtering through that. It's filtering through heaven filling our thoughts, the Word filling our minds. In Ephesians and Colossians, it tells us we're to redeem the time wisely each day, and then we're to serve the Lord every single day, serving the Lord. And we do this all because we can't do any of this in our own strength. We do it all in the power of the Holy Spirit, and yielding to the Spirit, not by might, nor by power, your own power and strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's Him. Look what He's given us. So, you know, we read the Bible and we read all these things that we are to be and to do, and He provides the Holy Spirit within us, and then the power of His Spirit upon us to be able to, as it tells us in Galatians, to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and that we walk in the Spirit. We yield to the Spirit. And in Ephesians, where it tells us to be being filled all the time, be being filled with His Spirit. And knowing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things. He is for us. He is with us. Look at all that He has provided for us. I just love thinking about this. I love thinking about that every day I get to walk with Him. Every day He is with me. He is for me. He has mercy. He has grace. He has strength and power for me. And that I get to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I get to be loving because the Holy Spirit is empowering me to be loving and to be kind and to be tender-hearted and to be merciful and compassionate to other people. What a glorious life we have, and what joy there is to walk with the Lord. I remember not walking with the Lord. What a depressing life. What a shallow, just good for nothing. Until I met Jesus. Until He came into my life, I have a reason to live. Because He is with me and He is for me and He's right beside me. So no longer a sheep without a shepherd. No longer walking according to the course of this world. No longer walking aimlessly in this world. There's purpose. We have a goal. We have someone to live for. And doing these things and making our aim, like we talked last week, to fully please the Lord. That's thrilling. That's so full of joy and hope that there's just no greater life. Why, Lord, why do you do this with such a one? I don't know. He's just gracious and He is good. And Father, thank you that we can walk with you. And would you teach us? Teach us how more and more. Keep this in the forefront of our minds. Lord, that every morning when we wake up, we know that you've been with us, and we wake up to new mercies, and we get to hear your voice, and we get to talk with you, and you have our clothes all laid out, and you give us the power and the strength, and it's you who wills in us both to do and to do for your good pleasure, and we get to do all these things because you love us. And Lord, we want to just respond to you in surrender and in just with grateful hearts. What a joy, what a privilege to walk with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage the hearts of my sisters. If they're struggling, Lord, that you would show yourself strong in them. And you would show them that your eye is upon them and that you are for them and that you have great grace for their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would go before us, and as we go into our groups, that, Lord, you would, our hearts would be so filled with you and what you've shown us that it would just bubble forth and we would get to talk about you and encourage one another. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.